sit down, buckle up. This is the Rebel Room post-game edition. I got the Mountain Dew in me, a Cliff Bar, Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer. I'm ready to go. UNLV 75, Boise State 58. I am currently more exciting than this game was in the second half. But Case, this was your first instant analysis for the season for UNLV. Instant analyze it for me. What did you take away?
About what I expected. I think we were just talking before the podcast, and you said you had 82-60, pretty close, 75-58. I didn't actually make a prediction. I don't know why, but I'd like to think I probably would have said something like 76-57.
I think so, you probably would have had 75-58.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I hate repeating myself. I hate when you go to a podcast. It's just like some bozo repeating himself. But I'm probably going to just repeat what I said in the instant analysis. I don't really think there's a whole lot that you can learn from this. Pretty much what I thought happened, and I think what a lot of fans thought would happen did. UNLV looked really good at times and, you know, kind of had some troublesome traits. But, I mean, it's Boise State. Like, what can you take out of this? Now just to totally change the topic, what's a Cliff Bar? Am I missing out on
something
like that? Well,
what? You've never had a Cliff Bar?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to open your world when we get back there. And it's basically, just think of it like a granola bar. Like, and it's just something you snack on. The crunchy peanut butter, it's like crack. I got to stop buying them. I'll eat like four or five a day. Those are my meals sometimes. It's not good.
I thought this was something you just made up.
Oh, no. Oh, come on now. All right. Like you said, whatever you thought of UNLV going into this game, this wasn't going to change your mind. If you thought they were in a free fall, first of all, I think you were wrong. But because all their losses are on the road, you know, and they're not going to be playing on the road in the NCAA tournament. Anyway, this wasn't going to change things. You know, Chase Stanback looked good. He usually does at home. Mike Moser was kind of the question mark for me after he disappeared in the second half of New Mexico. Really good defensively tonight. The shot still wasn't quite there, but I don't think that's a big worry for them. Anthony Marshall, double-double. They played great in the first 10 minutes, and then it was just kind of whatever for the rest of the way. But the difference is, you know, they had the double-digit lead, and even though it was a blasé game, a lot of turnovers and kind of ugly, both teams shot 50% from the free throw line, they never let Boise State back in it. And that's been a change for this UNLV team. So if you're going to take away a positive besides the fact that they just took care of business, I think that's probably what you go with.
Yeah, that'd be good. I was at the game, wrote something about it, put in the stats, and I didn't even realize Anthony Marshall had a double-double. That kind of shows you how quiet it was. I mean, yeah, 11 points, 10 rebounds. Not that he was terrible, but I just didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was workmanlike effort. And I think he had five assists also and a steal. And I know he didn't get that 10th rebound until right at the end. I'm honestly not sure that he actually got it. But, you know, either way, we'll give it to him.
The perils of college stat keeping.
Yes. Invisible rebound, as it were.
Right.
But no, so this team is now in second place, one game behind New Mexico. And look, I said, and kind of a lot of people that I talked to agreed, that basically the Mountain West Conference race was over when UNLV lost to New Mexico, because it looked like there was no way the Lobos were going to go worse than 3-1 down the stretch. Now, the good thing with that is that the one game that it looked like they could lose, they did, and it was the first one. And so it kind of keeps things exciting. I still think that they'll win out and, you know, kind of keep everybody at an arm's length. But, you know, UNLV and San Diego State now one game back, it at least adds a little intrigue going forward, especially when you look at, you know, UNLV is going to be at home against Air Force. Oftentimes at the MAC, that's a sloppy game, but, you know, UNLV should be able to run them over much like they did Boise State. I don't think it'll be as easy, but certainly got to think that they're winning on Saturday.
Right, and I mean, if you really want to make a reach, I think Saturday New Mexico does travel to TCU, who's kind of hot. So,
yeah,
if you're really trying to convince yourself that UNLV still has a shot here,
you can.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, it makes it at least a bit exciting. It makes it something that, you know, you can talk about at a water cooler if people still have those at work. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think we do. No, we have fridges.
I think we have a water cooler, but it's like half a mile away, so it's kind of pointless to walk there.
That doesn't.
It used to be
sense.
Like right before you came, it was right in the middle of the office, and then they moved it to like a
they,
different
they
part.
They moved it so that I couldn't find it.
Yeah, because they really wanted the writers to be dehydrated.
They heard that I like to take baseball bats to water coolers.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with everything you're saying. When you say went out, this is what I want to know. When you say went out, do you mean the regular season?
Yes.
Or do you mean you're picking them to win the tournament too?
Right. If it was today, I would pick New Mexico to beat UNLV in the tournament final. Yeah. Because I think that Friday game is going to be great. Hopefully it'll be great. I hope that San Diego State can get healthy and make that 2-3 matchup. This is all speculating that New Mexico wins a regular season title like I expect they will. I think that 2-3 game, whatever UNLV San Diego State finish at, is going to be great, and then the next game could be even better. Right now I would take New Mexico to get that, but it's home court. It's hard to pick against a team that hasn't lost on its home court all year, especially when that team potentially is one that they beat by 17 earlier this year.
Right. Yeah, and I would probably, if I had a gun to my head, I might pick UNLV to win that tournament. I feel like they can beat New Mexico again. But here's what concerns me. Since we've touched on the good parts, maybe this is one of the bad parts. I haven't followed UNLV as much, but the thing that stood out to me when I was studying a little bit for this game and looking at the past box scores was that they're just not a very good rebounding team, it seems like. I mean, Moser, obviously everyone knows, he gets his boards, but Masamba was great offensively tonight, but the guy is just no factor in getting boards. It seems like he gets boxed out every play. I think that's a cause for concern, especially against a team like New Mexico, where you saw Drew Gordon got 19 or 20 rebounds last week.
Yeah, Bryce is really not a very good rebounder, and this team gives up a lot of offensive rebounds. It's something that they kind of have to take with the way that they like to play defense, which is switching in the 1-4s. And so a lot of times then that creates matchups where your Oscar Belfield is trying to box out a 6'9 guy, and you're going to lose that matchup most of the time. And so that's kind of why they give up as many offensive rebounds as they do. It's just it's a sacrifice that they're willing to make, because usually they can keep them off just enough, and it works out for their defense when they have Moser in there at the four, and he can guard a point guard. It is definitely a big problem. And when you get a guy like Drew Gordon who's just dominating the boards like that, I think that's, you have to be prepared to switch things up in order to neutralize that, because New Mexico showed on Saturday that game plan is just going to destroy UNLV.
Right, but I guess I should mention they did improve tonight on the boards. They were pretty bad in the first half. I mean,
they gave up 8 offensive rebounds in the first half,
right,
and then 5 in the second.
Yeah, and at halftime, unless the stats I was looking at were wrong, I think they were down either 3 or 4 in rebounding differential, and they ended up
down three or four.
So maybe there was some maybe Dave Rice inspired the troops a little bit at halftime and got them to work better on the glass, because I did think they looked better in the second half. But that's kind of my foremost concern going forward with this bunch.
Yeah, they got the swagger back. That was Coach Dave Rice talking about confidence and swagger in the postgame. Something
channeling
his inner Lou Perkins, wherever that man may be currently.
Wasn't he like sports executive of the year in 2008?
He was. I thought he was coaching women's basketball or girls basketball,
like high school, middle school in Lawrence, Kansas.
Anyway, stuff that none of you care about.
Yeah, but hey, everyone's probably seen him, because remember how much he was in that once the Patriots-Giants Super Bowl?
When
he was
Peyton,
in every
Peyton
shot
Manning
with Peyton Manning.
Was up there.
Yeah.
But most people probably didn't have any clue who that was or cared.
He kind of looked like Cal Ripken. That's probably who they thought he was. He looked like a really old Cal Ripken.
I don't see it.
Cal Ripken Sr.
Either way, Boise State doesn't have a single guy in double digits. They started 4-6 from 3 and then finished 7-30. So UNLV's defense, this was the best I've seen him play in a couple of weeks at least. From the beginning, the guards were in the Broncos shorts just denying everything. They had a shot clock violation. Stop with your smiling. Grow up, Case. Grow up, all right? This is a mature podcast. I should be able to talk about men being in other men's shorts without you giggling like a little girl.
I didn't giggle. I'm back here away from the microphone. Just, I don't know, it took me a second. It sounds, you're making it a mature podcast with this talk.
Yes, Boise State just very rattled early on and just couldn't ever come up with any kind of counterpunch, which, like you said, they just didn't play very well. UNLV is the same team that they were when they lost 2 in a row. It's just the opponent and the venue changed for their favor big time. And like I said, if you thought they were in a free fall, then I seriously doubt that this game talked you off the ledge. But that's just the way it goes sometimes. Ugly for a lot of stretches, but UNLV took care of business early and then held them off. Both teams combined 22 of 44 at the free throw line.
Both 11 for 22, stat of the night.
I guess.
kind of interesting.
Yeah, but so like I said, UNLV one game back, second place, tied with San Diego State, who pulled off an overtime victory at home against Wyoming tonight. So there's a chance that it can still be an interesting conference race. And that's honestly, that was the reason I don't cheer for UNLV or, pull for them to win or lose any particular game. But that was the one thing with the loss Saturday. I was disappointed in the fact that it looked like it wouldn't be a conference race anymore. So I'm glad that it at least for a little while will have some life, have some legs for, something to talk about and something for me to write about too.
Right. Just wait till Hank Thorne says 38 on Saturday and takes down New Mexico.
That'll be something. All right. So for Case Kiefer, I'm Taylor Byrne. This was the Rebel Room, and we are going to go have some post-game Cliff Bars now. We'll see you later.